to Buena Vista. It's a bonus episode. I'm Andrew, and I have a problem. As a proud resident of Tokyo, there's so much to love about living here. Visiting one of our wonderful record stores every weekend to pick up some vinyl. Going to the onsens with my bros. Touring the city to take a shit in all the public bathrooms that feature in the Wim Wenders film Perfect Days. But there's one thing I don't love. Being eaten by the mighty but temperamental king of the monsters, Godzilla. Now I find myself stuck in his tummy with no bottled water and a dwindling phone battery. I hate Mondays. Hey, who's that I can just make out in the darkness? If it isn't my mild-mannered salaryman friend, Theo, possibly regretting his decision to spend his adult life getting absolutely fuck-eyed every night at the urging of his boss down to the bank. How's it going, Theo?
Ohio. Good. Yep. Am kind of stuck in Godzilla.
Yeah. You don't have to go to work tomorrow, though.
Yeah. But on the plus side, I went to Tokyo. Beautiful place. Fantastic cuisine from all over the globe, not just Japanese.
Oh.
Picked up a bolognese. Did take my shirt off to eat it, which is helping me in this environment.
This is something that you didn't have to bring into the intro at all. You could have just kept it between us.
Hey?
You didn't have to mention. Okay, yeah.
It's lucky that you had the takeaway container lid clamped on there tight. And that, you know, I'm assuming clutched it to yourself as you went down Godzilla's gullet.
Absolutely. Yeah. Got a can of...
yeah.
What do you got? It looks like a 4X Gold from the top, but it might be a Stone and Wood Pacific Ale, maybe?
Yeah, no, it's a GX.
It's a what?
No. Which Ichi-ni-sung G?
Oh, fuck. Okay. All right.
You didn't know I spoke
Japanese. What's Japanese for X?
I didn't know you spoke
What's Japanese,
Japanese
for X?
Oh. Hey, Ben, you can beep this one out. I think it's Xu.
I'm leaving that in because I think that is how you would render that if you were trying to put it into... Yeah.
Of course, I am trying to identify that voice I hear in the dark. Show yourself! Out of the darkness, my phone's flashlight reflects from the glasses of a gentle, bearded face. It's a man in very short shorts who looks for all the world like a tourist who has chosen the most incorrect week possible to visit our beautiful city. It's Ben. Ben, is this going to affect the rating that you give Tokyo on TripAdvisor?
No, I was actually coming here specifically for this.
Oh.
I love the Japanese and their beautiful culture. Mm-hmm. I love the Godzilla films. Mm-hmm. And I also love being eaten.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm kind of like a war
and empreg.
So this is
two great flavors that go together.
They do go very well together. I know we've talked about this at length, but it is kind of like a nice synergy that if you have been eaten, you are kind of temporarily in like an empreg situation. But I don't know enough about empreg to know that if the birthing itself is an important part, is it a way you will be birthed from Godzilla?
I've never seen it. I've never seen the birth depicted in Empreg. I've only seen the kind of like translucent cutaway to the belly.
Yeah, well, I think
belly. Whether
you've been eaten or you are in the Empreg situation, you will probably be rendered identically in the cutaway that we're all so familiar with.
Yes.
Yes. For a while, at least. Yeah.
You're in there. You're in there. Your knees are up tight to your chest because, honestly, it's tight in here.
Yes. You know? You wouldn't think it, given
the artist has not depicted me with an umbilical cord connecting me to Godzilla, though.
Faithfully rendered you with no shirt, though, clutching your bolognese.
Tell you what, I've Googled Empreg birth, and I'm not seeing the birth. I'm just seeing...
I guess that's not part of it.
It's not part of it.
No.
That's very strange.
It's just that you want the character, like maybe
it's not about the destination, it's about the journey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we are just speculating here, but maybe if you are like a big Empreg head, you just in an ideal world, Luigi would just be pregnant indefinitely.
Yeah, forever pregnant.
Forever pregnant.
Yeah. Because it is a fantasy. It is a fantasy. So whenever you check into that fantasy, like Luigi's just there at the farmhouse, beautiful green gingham dress. Just clutching his big swollen belly, saying, oh, "I'm so glad you're back. I've baked
cut
fresh
away
bread."
And there's baby Bowser in there.
There's baby Bowser in there. I don't know that at the moment. I think it's my baby. But if the birth never happens, I don't have to find out about the betrayal with Luigi.
All right. And who are you?
I'm me.
Oh, you're you.
Yeah, I'm whoever has the M-Preg fetish. I'm just me there with Luigi. I assume everything's been fine while I've been gone. Yep. No, everything's normal. Everything's
good. Now I'm just imagining a husband who's got like a, he's got an M-Preg fantasy on the down low, and he's knocked up his wife, and he's spending the next 9 months going, oh boy, rubbing her belly.
I'm gonna be real sad when this is over. He's saying,
yeah, okay.
But hey, the listeners won't be sad when this is over.
I know someone who is doing, well, just the other day, did a tour of the toilets from Perfect Days.
Yep. They all look great, don't they?
Those are great looking toilets.
You know, just makes you go, hey, it's a real testament to investing public funds in infrastructure for your city.
Well, because the movie came about because like the city of Tokyo or whatever body was looking after those toilets was like, hey, we'll pay you to make a sort of a short promotional video about these toilets. And then this crazy whimsical German goes over there and he's like, you know what? Feature film. Heartbreakingly beautiful, achingly beautiful feature film about the toilets.
Oh, maybe they had a few false starts though, where they commissioned somebody to make a toilet movie and got it back and went, nope, dump it. Yeah. Dump it. This is not what we meant.
They like it too
much. This looks like it was filmed on the inside of a toilet.
Yeah. Who responds when you say, I'd love to have a movie made about some toilets?
A German. You
know? Yeah, yeah, well, I mean.
A back of the gaijin.
Yeah, they got the right German. They got the right German, you know?
I just can't stress enough. Sometimes I wish we did video episodes. Just the scene of Theo in a perfectly white room with no visible objects of furniture except the chair that he's sitting in, shirtless. Mm-hmm. Eating a takeaway bolognese and drinking a beer.
Yep.
While a sort of like otherworldly white light comes through the windows that doesn't reveal anything of your surroundings. Sort of like you're on some sort of artificial recreation of a human room.
Kind of makes me think of some of the scenes from Hellraiser. The first one, you know, there's very, very, very white rooms, and then all of a sudden Pinhead's there, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, bang, you're pregnant.
I'm in the Matrix, but they're using too much of their computing power to generate full 3D images of pregnant Luigi.
Imagine going into the, being like, hey, I need to go into the construct for a while. I need one beer and one bolognese. I won't be needing a shirt.
It seems like the three of us are going to be real close to each other here in Godzilla's stomach. We're going to be neighbors for a while. I hope no disagreements happen, otherwise we might have to feature them on the segment Neighborhood Dispute Watch.
I think we would be neighbors if there was like a Mothra next door who also had swallowed some tourists.
You're saying there's not enough separation within the one belly for us to be neighbors?
No,
we're just more like roommates. Together? More like roommates at the moment?
We're cohabituated.
Or like cellmates, really, if we're keeping it real.
Yes. Yeah. And we do keep it real on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I was thinking about the other day?
Keeping it real?
No, I was thinking about That's What's Up. That's What's Up, Loki fell off. But I think we should bring That's What's Up back.
That is what's up.
Yeah. That's What's Up is what's up, as far as I'm concerned.
That is That's What's Up.
That's the stuff that is. This is from WPEC in Florida, The Pick. Neighbor dispute in Palm Beach Gardens.
Going to need more information.
Oh, good. Because you're about to get a shitload of it. A prolonged and escalating dispute between neighbors at Riverside Drive in Palm Beach Gardens has culminated in legal action against Blair Kaluahine. I'm just assuming that that's like an islander name and I'm pronouncing that correct. I could be wildly wrong.
We're hoping.
Who is accused of harassment, threats, and property damage against a couple. Now, we're students of the human condition. I think it's fair to say the mission statement of this podcast is that we are trying to observe life in all of its forms and sort of see how this crazy noisy world we live in sort of coalesces sometimes into observable patterns. Is that fair?
Yeah, but I think the important part of it is that we are viewing things through a bit of a cracked lens,
yes,
if you will.
A black mirror.
A funhouse mirror, of, yes, yeah.
A twisted, cracked funhouse black mirror. And it's a little silly.
I think, you know, we're kind of sociologists.
Yes.
We're kind of anthropologists.
Yes.
You know? But at our core, we're humanists, but not in the really annoying way that some people describe themselves as humanists.
No, it's like a chill humanist. We're kind of like the protagonist of one of Ursula K. Le Guin's Haynish cycle novels, where we're visiting from a world and sort of observing passively and with love, I think, the goings on of the world around us. So
yeah, and this is going to go on week after week, straight to your ears until the first one of us kills ourselves.
Yes. We have closed the betting pool on that because it was getting pretty grim and also really, like, really one-sided. I think what I was trying to say there 3 minutes ago is that one of these repeating patterns I think we observe is that sometimes this society demands that we have to live near and with each other. And most of the time, this is good. You know, it brings about community. But sometimes when you put two groups of people next to each other, there's something that can go wrong or awry, and it makes people absolutely fucking insane. I think probably the best example of this that we've ever encountered was probably Liam Bane, which I think was in an episode we just unlocked, the three twins situation, I'm pretty sure. This is a bonus episode anyway, so you probably would have heard it. If you haven't, go back and listen to the three twin situation. Liam Bane was a character we discovered, a real man, a real living human being, but definitely a character in the UK who...
Oh, yeah.
He lived in a cul-de-sac.
Mr. Bane, yeah.
And he was fucking insane. And he drove the people around him insane. And what was once a sort of quiet village cul-de-sac became a nightmare. And I think we found a sort of similar situation
here. A Lovecraftian hub of paranoia.
Yes, and terror. Yeah. The family's attorney, Michelle Suskauer, told CBS 12's Katie Bente, that the suspect didn't just cross a line, he set fire to it.
Don't do that. We need that line.
Quote, "This neighbor, this man, for no reason that we could even fathom, targeted this family. He seemed to be obsessed with this family and every day would do something else," said Suskauer.
Now, look, I'm not defending this guy, but I will say you got to stay busy.
Yeah.
You know?
I honestly want to find out what the vibes on the family are before I make any kind of decision.
Yes.
What did you do? What did you do to make him mad?
Would a person go absolutely insane for no reason?
For no reason at all?
Show me some precedent. Show me some precedent for that.
Yeah. The conflict began in early 2024 when the victim parked a vehicle on the swale to allow access for construction at his home.
All right.
Are we all Googling? Are we going to stop the show for a second or all Google swale?
Now, guys Google the swale. I'm finished my bolognese, so I'll put my shirt on.
Okay. Swale is this is according to Google's AI overview. Thanks for putting this up the top of every search result now.
Yeah, fuck off.
A swale is a low-lying channel that can be natural or man-made and is used to move water and manage stormwater. So it looks for all the world ditch. Like a bit of a ditch.
That's the ditch.
A ditch where some water goes. Okay.
Kaluahine, his neighbor, left a note informing the owner of the car that parking in the swale was not permitted. Okay, so this guy's parked in the swale and Kaluahine has been like, "Hey, buddy, don't park in the fucking swale.
Don't park in the ditch where the water and mud is.
Yeah.
We got to keep that tidy."
Yeah, thanks for saying it as well, just to get me like seamlessly caught back up.
And just for the listeners' benefit, Theo is now beshirted again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So update that image in your mind's eye now.
And no bolognese sauce on the shirt either, because he took it off while he was eating.
Flawless
Smart,
system.
Right?
Flawless system. I'm such a big adherent to the apron the whole time that I'm cooking and doing stuff in the kitchen now, because it's always the very last moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I was cooking something that was like maybe tomato based a little while ago, and had done the whole thing. We'd eaten dinner, and then I was just like putting the leftovers into a Tupperware container, and it was the last spoonful of stuff that went into the Tupperware container where a blob of it went bloop and hopped straight out.
That's there for life.
Dead center on my shirt. No, I'm like, I'm all over it now. I whip that shirt off instantly. I'm into the laundry.
Yeah.
I'm washing it with some detergent. I'm rinsing it right out. If you get onto it, quick, smart. Bit of dishwashing liquid, you know?
Or
you sort that shit out.
You can just sort of do what I do, which is you just sort of set a precedent as kind of being a kind of guy that would have stains all over his clothes.
Yep. And then it's just kind of built in. Built
no
into
one
your
ever,
life.
Like, it's like, oh, did you get olive oil on your shirt? And that's why it will never, ever come out.
It's like, maybe.
I was like, hey, he's wearing another one of his shitty shirts. This initial interaction set off a series of hostile encounters that the Palm Beach Gardens Police Department explained in its probable cause affidavit. Following the parking incident, the affidavit said, Kaluahine installed commercial strength lighting aimed directly at the victim's master bedroom.
Wow.
Causing them to install blackout film on their windows.
Jesus.
I mean, or you could... Where are the... So they're installed on his property, I assume.
Yeah, pointing directly into their windows. Oh, what? My photons? My photons are going over into your property? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go collect my waves.
Classic I'm not touching you situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except they are. They got mass. The situation escalated further when Kaluahine erected a flagpole on the victim's... Beep that part out. On the victim's property, leading to a heated confrontation. That's a strong move.
Putting up a flagpole in your neighbor's yard.
Hey, who would plant a flag on someone else's land? Kaluahine's behavior included yelling expletives, playing loud music, and dumping yard debris on the victim's property. Classics of the, like, neighbor dispute genre.
Yep. I was just kind of thinking to myself about how, like, if both neighbors engage and are kind of like equal participants in it, like that's when you would potentially get like a situation that you might make a comedy movie out of.
Yeah, absolutely. You,
maybe you
even,
call
maybe
it
even
bad
a
neighbors
comedy. Yeah
you know, but when it's just one guy doing it, it doesn't really have that fun kind of tone.
Good,
you know?
Fences make good neighbors, and yeah, these neighbors tore their fucking fence down.
Yes.
It's a little more psycho. Like, you ever seen the movie The Fan, Ben?
No, I never have.
Really? Get on that, man.
Is that
Robert
like
De Niro? Fan? Benicio del Toro?
Oh, I love a Benicio del Toro.
And it's it's just Robert De Niro as a sports fan and knife salesman. Going absolutely insane over the course of the movie. But hey, if they were both obsessed with each other, might have been more fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is more akin to a horror story.
Hey, I get scared when you say that, okay?
During the heated confrontation over the flagpole on March 12th, 2024, Kaluahine allegedly told the victim's wife, now I'm just guessing based on the Grawlixes? Is that what those are called? Grawlix. When you have characters in place of a profanity.
Yeah,
that's a fun term.
I've already made my own assessment of this, Ben, so I'll let you know at the end if there's any difference in opinion, okay?
Okay, yeah. This is what I think it is. Go ahead and call the fucking police, you fucking fat bitch whore fucking cunt.
Spot on.
Is that, you reckon that's correct?
Yep.
Yeah, we've kind of had to piece that together ourselves. So that's a bit rude.
So let me just make sure I haven't missed any of this.
Mm.
So they parked their car in the wrong spot.
In the swale. Yeah. And then to me, it feels like there's a missing step.
There is, isn't it? I think someone's lying. I think someone's not telling the full truth.
We're taking on a new position on this show. Believe perpetrators.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there's a... So he's put the note on the car because he was parked in the swale. He said, don't fucking park in the swale,
don't you
dipshit.
Dare.
And then something has happened because then he's put in the lights going directly into the bedroom.
Yes.
Put the flagpole on his property.
You'd think that if the receiver of the note had gone, oops, and moved their car out of the swale, then perhaps he would not have gone full Bane.
You think everything's kind of sorted after that, right? because this car's not in the swale anymore.
Yeah, problem solved.
The swale is carless now.
Is this, this Palm Beach, Florida?
This is in Florida, I believe. This is Palm Beach Gardens.
Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. I'm just wondering if they're one of those Havana Rays went astray.
Oh, because they're so close Havana to Cuba.
Yeah,
maybe that might have happened.
Yeah, if he had looked out his window and seen a carless swale, as we all want to see, he would have just thought, job well done, another offender vanquished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? If that swale was Picard, I'd be furious.
Mm. But instead, it doesn't seem like that was the end of it.
No,
I think
sort of cut
due to all the stuff happening after.
Steam forming on his brain.
Yep.
The, something must
the
have
thing that made him go psycho mode.
Maybe he like saw the guy take the note out from under his windshield and read it and then go roll his eyes, scrunch it up into a ball and throw it over his shoulder. Maybe that happened.
Maybe.
And now he's fucking furious and he's doing all this other stuff, like being really rude to his wife.
I mean, maybe, I'm just saying that there's any number of excuses.
Maybe he
saw... And we're going to find one.
He saw the offender go down to the car, get the note, read the note, get into the car, close the door, start the car, turn the car back off, step back out of the car, close the car and lock it, throw the note away.
Yeah, and then turn towards Kaluuya Hino's house, double birds.
Yep.
Throws his head back in a big, like, anime character laugh.
Yep. Turns around and throws his own keys off into the field. Car's not going anywhere.
This car lives in the swale now.
This swale has a car, and that's just how it is.
The arrest report continued to say Kaluuya Hino then told the victim he intended to make his, quote, life miserable. Police records show that Kaluuya Hino was intoxicated and belligerent.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Also, I think actions speak louder than words, and everyone's already kind of realized that by now.
Yeah, I don't think saying I'm going to like be angry at you really makes a difference if he's demonstrated it.
Yeah, I'm going to be angry at you for a while longer,
yeah,
as per my previous actions.
I'm so happy that where we live between two old ladies. We are in a suburb, like an older suburb where there's like larger blocks, a lot of space between us and our neighbors. On one side, we've got like an old lady who is like very with it and feisty. She's always out in her garden playing.
She's hip.
She's very with it. She's kind of rude about her own daughter.
Yep. She's out there spinning a hula hoop on her hips.
She is often playing some type of like ancient woodwind instrument in unison with her other daughter, who also talks shit about the second daughter. But yeah, she's cool. She's very chill. And then on the other side, we have an old lady who is more of a hermit. And she came around recently to thank us for doing a bunch of like cutting back of stuff that's on the boundary between our two properties. And we hadn't seen her since before New Year's and Christmas and stuff. And we said, oh, we hope, you know, we've had some people around. We have dinner parties and we occasionally have party parties. And we said, oh, we hope the noise never bothers you. And she said, oh, I never hear anything. And she said, oh, once or twice I've like heard people just down the back of your place, like on the deck. But all I've heard is like people talking and laughing and having a good time, and that's nice.
That's the healthiest instinct in the world, to be like, oh, I heard the sounds of people having a pleasant time, and I thought, well, that's nice.
That's nice, and it's not bothering her at all because she never comes out of her house. And I think if you shared a boundary with someone who had just decided one day that you were their mortal enemy... And they were going to spend every fucking day yelling psycho stuff at you, installing flagpoles on your lawn. That's got to ratchet the tension up in your life a bit, you know? You don't really need that. No one really needs that. Although maybe somebody out there's got absolutely nothing going on. They're like, I need that.
Oh, it's probably invigorating to have like a sole focus for all of your energy.
Oh, I've got a nemesis now.
My nemesis next door.
And you never get a nemesis when you're working for one, do you? Like, they can tell when you're putting in too much effort.
You look after yourself.
Yes.
and be in a state where you're receptive to whatever comes along, and a nemesis will find you. You'll find each other.
Yes. You have to be open to the universe for a nemesis to land into your life.
Open the dark part of your heart to the universe. Yeah,
be as annoying as possible for everyone around you.
Start tailgating people, you know, just as standard behavior. Don't pick a car and hope that's your nemesis. Tailgate everyone.
Throw in a little horn beep if they've been sitting at the lights for like 2 or 3 seconds after.
A third of a second. The moment it goes green, the instant start honking.
You lean see on the it. Green light. Honk.
Yeah.
But if somebody honks at you, put on Kill the em. Handbrake. Put Kill on the handbrake. Get out of your car reverse. Straight away.
Yeah.
My point is, you got to put out the energy that you want to get back from the universe.
Start as you mean to go on.
Yes. Yes.
The following day, PBGPD.
Fucking Palm Beach Gardens PD. PBGPD.
PBGPD office responded to Kaluuya Hide allegedly yelling expletives from his backyard. On March 14th, officers returned due to ongoing disputes, including Kaluuya Hide driving onto the victim's driveway and kicking up mud and debris, according to the arrest affidavit.
Yes. That's very much from the episode of The Simpsons, the Bad Neighbors episode of The Simpsons, where Homer's like doing burnouts on the lawn and kicking mud up onto George Bush Sr.'s house.
But he deserved it because like the wars and stuff.
The Gulf War. As the days progressed, officers returned after Kaluuya Hide, quote, intentionally aimed another floodlight that shined into the victim's bedroom. Then, on March 20th, the victim told officers that he believed Kaluuya Hide pressure washed the word dick onto the sidewalk near the driveway of the victim's home.
Like, I like the variety, I have to say. He's mixing it up. He wants to keep things lively. He wants to keep them guessing, and I appreciate that.
Probably not enjoying so much the abject terror that the neighbors are experiencing.
Oh, who cares? They're fine.
I think he's having fun. Grow up. That's all I'm saying.
We don't have to empathize with everyone we mention in a story.
Yeah. And if they didn't want this to happen, maybe they shouldn't have done whatever they did between getting the note about the swale.
Whatever happened between the swale note and now?
Yep.
Maybe they should have handled it differently. You know what I think it is? I think that the guy has, what's that thing that definitely neither of your kids has, Theo? The one where...
Lyme disease.
The one where they, you can't, if you tell them what to do, they react very badly to it. Pathological demand
PDA.
Avoidance.
Pathological PDA. Demand avoidance.
Yeah. I think the guy who parked his car in the swale has PDA. So a note, even a polite note from his neighbor saying, hey, mate. We can't park in the swale because that's actually it's a corridor for water runoff, or whatever. So
I really like the idea that everything that we've heard up to this point, and you've chosen to believe that the note was like polite and reasonable.
Yeah. But then this fucking guy has got PDA.
I love it when we pick the wrong side to story.
Well, I'm saying both of them, like the PDA thing is valid. I get it.
Yeah.
I get some things that I think are very even polite. Requests for a change in my behavior or something that I feel is a criticism will make me...
Anybody recommending a prestige TV show to me?
Yeah, 100%. Never going to fucking watch that shit.
No fucking way.
Fuck off.
Hey, you should really watch this thing. Yeah. Should I?
Yeah, you should
watch
Shogun.
You fucking think I should
watch
all of The Wire? Is that what you think?
Yeah, you should watch all of The Wire.
I've heard two people say that this movie was really good. I'm not going to fucking watch it.
Yeah.
I'm watching Shooter again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just being silly.
It is, isn't it? Most things like that are just being silly, and you could probably just yell at your kids until it goes away.
Yeah. This is reminding me like a lot of when we went camping last time, and our time was completely ruined, and we should have known. Like, we went to our camping spot, and we've been there like 4 times before, and it's like a national park, like booked spot kind of thing, right? So you go there and you don't know, like you're sharing a place with all other people. And we should have known there was something that was not going to be good when the truck arrived with the enormous fucking water tank sitting on the back of it to deliver to the site next to us. Mm-hmm. Because there was literally like 60 people that showed up to our quiet riverside
Oh no!
camping spot. And it got to like like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and they were all like in this big circle around the fire. And this is going to be really divisive.
The big circle around your tent?
No. But it was next to our tent because it's these little campsites, right? Yeah. For like your family of like four people, right?
I won't even go to like a national park campground if it's full. You want to be at least one empty campsite between everyone because they are very packed in.
Yeah, this is not only not an empty campsite. There is like an order of magnitude more people here than they should have been, right? Yep. And they were right next to our tent. And they're just like I said, there's like 60 of them. And most of them around the campfire. And they're just effing and Jeff. And you guys know I don't mind an effing Jeff, but
yeah.
Were they younger
next
than
to our
you?
Children?
Were they younger than you?
No. No, they were like a full spectrum of age. And it got to the point, like I went and talked to my father-in-law. I'm like, hey, like my kids are trying to sleep. This is, you know, should we go over there and ask them, hey, can they keep it down? Like, oh, you know. And eventually we did. We walked over there. We said, hey, you know, keep it down sort of thing.
I would have fucking killed to have been a fly on the wall.
Shared campsite. Like very confidently I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
But kindly, with a kindness in my eyes and a softness in my hands so they could see that I was not a threat.
Yeah. Hey, give me a fucking break.
And immediately, like, fucking the snarls of, like, get fucked, mate.
Oh, no.
Time is 10 p.m. You get back there at your campsite, mate, and don't fucking come back here, all right? Like,
Jesus Christ.
You just walked into Wake in Fright. You
fixing for a fight immediately. Shit. Immediately. Like they're drunk, right? Like they've all been drinking, but like it was like ratcheted up straight away. And we're like, okay, well, you know, it's either we walk back there or, you know, we
burn a tent down like, to show that we mean business.
We get killed with the first punch thrown. And so like I just had to lie there in our tent while they're like making fun of us and like all mocking each other and stuff. And like one guy would like go and turn up the music and be like, oh no, mate, no, better keep it down. Hey, and it was fucked. It was one of the most humiliating, fucking terrifying experiences of my entire life. And then you have to wake up and they're still all there and go like, and my father-in-law, he's a much better man than me. He walked next door and's like, oh, sorry about last night, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry about it too. And I'm like, you have nothing to apologize for, dude.
Yeah.
You were good. We just have to leave. That's what we got to do. Yeah, we got to leave this situation.
Shared bathroom facilities with those guys.
But imagine that that's your house, that's like what you live in, right? Like that there's
can't fold
a
your
fucking
house up and go.
Mad, intoxicated cunt next to you. Like, 24/7. That's a nightmare. That's a kind of I gotta leave, brother.
Man, you're so lucky that Caitlin didn't pull the well, raise the kids until they're ready to leave home. But I no longer respect you. Fuck, that's so rough. That is such a fucking nightmare. That is horrible.
I'm quite sure that your wife would respect you for attempting to do the right thing.
She respected me less for attempting because she doesn't like a fuss at all, right?
Oh, like, was she just like just,
we just need
just
to
leave it alone and pretend
out,
to go to
leave
sleep.
It. Just leave it alone. I'm like,
you
I
did
can't.
Provoke them into audibly making fun of you while you
I did.
Sleepless.
Yes. Oh, yes. And my children as well. So, you know,
they made fun of the children or the children were also...
No, in front of the children, yeah, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, and they'll remember that.
And they'll remember that. But you know, you go to a camping site, you want to hear, what do you want to hear? You want to hear the water just like running,
a
trickling.
Yeah.
The quiet like hoots of a tawny frog mouth or maybe an owl.
Yes. You want to hear whip birds.
Yes.
Early morning whip birds.
Yeah. You don't want to hear paparazzi at 400 decibels.
Jesus, fuck. Yeah, that's no good. The arrest report continues to detail instances where Kaluahine would turn on his leaf blower directly outside the couple's window, one time stating, fuck you, fucking pussy. I'm going to beat your ass. If only the other guy didn't have PDA. That's such a shame. 3 months later, on June 29th, P PBGPD responded to the victim's report of Kaluahine allegedly destroying a security camera with a pole. Finally, on July 2nd, code enforcement conducted an on-site inspection and told Kaluahine to move the flagpoles, which were off his property line, and to move his floodlights to only face his patio.
Just in time, too, I'd say. Probably not you don't want to be rush into these things.
What? So this has been going on for like 6 months at this point.
6 months of like...
hell.
Living scared.
God. 6 months of like suburban Vietnam.
But I feel like all of these things,
though. I love police. I love how we have police.
Yeah, but also like what...
they keep us safe.
What are they... Like, this is a genuine question. And realizing, of course, that laws are different in different countries and all that sort of stuff. But like, what are they supposed to be doing at this stage other than saying like, hey, we're giving a warning about making the noise. Like we can, you know, we've received noise complaints and we'll potentially issue you a fine.
Step one, ask you, you take away his PlayStation. And it's not about punishment. It's about reducing the amount of negative time, the screen time, that sort of stuff. You're going to bring that down, as far as I understand it. Step two, drop him off in the next town like a stray cat.
Yeah. Drive him over the county line. Like in Rambo, First Blood.
Yeah, he's Anaheim's problem now.
If this was in the world of Ursula K. Le Guin's The Dispossessed, where the people on the moon of Anaris, is that what it's called? It's a completely anarchist society with no laws whatsoever, no police force, no judicial bodies that can make a ruling here. But because this guy was such at odds with his surrounding community, the community itself would reject his aberrant behavior until he either moved on or corrected it. So they could do it by denying him food at the local commissary, or by just forming a large group and just kicking the shit out of him.
Hmm.
So maybe like all of the neighbors could just kind of get together. But then see, there's got to be a reason why it's just this guy battling him. It's not like everyone else on the street is like, yeah, this guy's a fucking problem. I think it's the PDA.
Yeah.
I think he just reacted so strongly to the swale note that he kind of provoked this. Following other interactions with code enforcement, police said the calls against Kaluahine continued. This time the victims reported on July 16th that tarps were placed in Kaluahine's yard that said, "Fuck off, scumbags," in spray paint, as well as a middle finger painted on the tarp. Kaluahine said, told officers he put up the tarps because the victim had cameras facing into his yard.
Hey, it's his yard. He can put up a tarp.
I think you can... It's America still, right? So you can probably still have a tarp that says "fuck off, scumbags."
Hey, quick question.
When you think about
is this still America?
Is this still America? When you think about it, those cameras are just capturing photons and not sending out photons like the lights.
Yes.
So.
More instances of bright lights shining into the victim's windows occurred, prompting nightly checks with law enforcement. The PBGPD said on September 25th, officers responded to reports of Kaluahine allegedly spraying water on the victim's windows and walls. So, I don't know what that's doing.
Sometimes my kids just get like so fucking amped up that you can't do anything to bring them down.
Yeah.
And like...
they don't know why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're like...
they do any of us, you know?
And it's not my job to end the tantrum. It's just my job to make sure that they're safe and secure.
Yeah.
And that's like, but that's like 20 minutes.
This is like 7 months at this point.
Yeah.
Eight months, nine months.
Maybe they should have gone across the street and tried holding him.
maybe they should have just like turned to him and said, "Hey, bud, are you feeling some big feelings right now?"
Yeah. Yeah.
And then maybe talked about what those feelings were and then sort of maybe tried to find the root cause.
Yeah. Are you hungry?
Yeah.
Are you sleepy?
Was it the swale?
Yeah. Do you need to go poo?
Do you need to take a big shit?
Do you need to poo?
Following that interaction, police then detailed an incident they called the, quote, hurricane incident. It's ominous, right?
All right. It's got a title.
When Hurricane Milton hit on October 9th, the Palm Beach Gardens was experiencing winds of... The Palm Beach Gardens was experiencing winds of 25 to 30 miles per hour and gusts of up to 54 miles per hour. According to police, Kaluahine decided to start a fire in his backyard burn pit near the victim's fence. Watching the surveillance footage, police said, quote, there was no reasonable explanation for the use of a fire in the middle of a hurricane. Video showed him allegedly adding to the fire and leaving it unattended. Once Palm Beach Gardens Fire Rescue responded to the scene, they found the fire already out. However, that evening, police said Kaluahine restarted the fire using an accelerant and a leaf blower, causing embers to fly over the victim's artificial turf, the embers staying lit for several seconds.
I love how, like, the very following sentences, police said similar incidents followed. Like, they're just passive observers in this.
Yeah. Oh, he kept trying to burn the fucking house down. Yeah. Stuff like that, of that ilk.
Okay, a little more house.
Yeah, we went around there and told him to knock it off. Yeah. And he said, yeah, no worries, officer.
He was engaging in arson-adjacent behaviors continuously.
I'm currently enjoying the theory that there's no explanation for this. Like that maybe a demon kind of went in him or something.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe he's kind of just like the judge from Blood Meridian.
Yeah.
And he's not Satan, but he is kind of like this incarnation of almost just pure evil wrought upon the world.
Yes.
And there's no explaining him. There's no reckoning with him, really, to speak of.
Is there any note of him, like, snatching up the neighbor's baby?
Yeah.
Doing like a little whack on a rock?
Finding, like, a priceless artifact of history and then destroying it after describing it in his... Yeah. His sketchbook of arcane objects.
Such a good book.
It's a really good book.
Shame we should make a movie out of that.
On October 15th, Kaluahine was reported for burning in his pit again and exposing his naked body to the victim's camera.
Ah.
This guy's he's a bit of a Fruit Loop, I think, maybe.
Bit of an exhibitionist. He should join some sort of like live theater or something. Maybe a ska band.
Like a more positive outlet.
Talents, yeah.
Did you move in next door to Buffalo Bill by any chance?
It is kind of
crazy.
There are like, I mean, crazy is a very reductive term, and obviously mental illness, very serious, big scale of things. But there is a specific type of crazy where they are in touch with reality enough that they operate day to day. They have a job, they have a house, they live. And they survive and they take part in all of the normal rituals of being in society. But if you like flick the right switch, you open up this deep well of complete fucking insanity and they're out there.
Yeah. Next thing you know, they've got your dog in the machine from the cell.
Police detailed that Kaluahine was, quote, air humping, flicking off the middle finger, looking and shouting directly at the surveillance camera.
Hey, we've all done a little air humping, okay?
I don't think he likes being surveilled. On October 19th, he repeated this behavior, facing his neighbor's surveillance camera and exposing himself again.
Can I make one suggestion, which is if you don't like being surveilled, try not doing so much interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Eminently watchable.
Yes.
Certainly. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, he's out there again doing stuff.
Yeah.
And the stuff... It's pretty weird.
It's pretty interesting, yeah. High entropy behavior over there.
He's doing some real, hey, do you want to come see this type behavior?
Hey, I mean, like, honestly, if I were to go to, like, the blinds or curtains of any window of my house and peep out from them, I'm not seeing anything like this.
Not a lot going on out there, yeah.
There's some trees. Sometimes I see Cordelia, my neighbor, like, watering some of the pots on her deck. That's kind of it. Like, she's never humping the air.
No.
She's never showing me her genitals, flipping me off. If she was, you know, first thing I'd say, hey, Eleanor, come look at this.
Yeah.
There's something happening out here. Capital S, capital H.
Quick, come here. A something occurring.
Yeah, there's a real occurrence happening outside the window right now.
Events are taking place. Yeah. Come look.
honey, we're living in interesting times.
Yeah. Hark, there is happenstance.
Yep. But you know what? Up to this point, no reason to set a camera up.
Mm.
The victim told police there were at least four instances while they were home where they heard loud thudding on the roof of their home. The victim went outside and found something odd. Both fresh and frozen meat had been tossed on the roof.
God damn.
This man is sinking money into this too.
Yeah.
It's not inexpensive to set up very bright lights, to erect flagpoles. You know, cost of living crisis, meat, not that cheap.
Any note on what cut?
Didn't say. Didn't it also say what animal?
Yeah.
Could say which was fresh and which was frozen. Yeah.
I tell you what animal and cut that I could throw on the neighbor's roof, and that's a pork chop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Useless.
Whoa, let's not say
things. You know, the ones, not the neat ones, but like the ones that you get, and it's just this mess of fat, and there's like three bones in there.
It's a four-quarter chop. You're describing a pork four-quarter chop.
And you can salvage about like 20 grams of meat.
Wait, are you talking a T-shaped bone, or
no?
Is it sort of two separate pieces of bone, and they're one's kind of weirdly?
I think so. Yeah,
T-shaped. That's a four-quarter chop. Yeah,
yeah.
It's one of the cheaper cuts of meat from like any animal you can get a four-quarter chop, but a lamb four-quarter chop, so fucking tasty.
If you can find the meat on it, that's what I'm saying. And I'm throwing that thing next door.
Glad you got the platform to air this gripe.
I've been keeping this in for 2 days.
When officers contacted Kaluahine's landlord, he said there were $67,000 in total fines from the city he had received because of Kaluahine.
And he still lives there?
Yeah. I guess that's the only good landlord.
Landlord's like, you want to try making him angry?
Yeah, I'm just going to keep sort of taking his rent money and letting him live here because I don't want to deal with any of this.
Yeah, to be honest, before last year, all of this ire was directed at me. So I'm kind of happy with how things are going at the moment.
The new target. Maybe the landlord he pretended to be the neighbor and wrote,
Fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you. I love parking in the swale.
The swale is my car's house now.
Yeah.
My car lives in the swale. I bought the swale from the city and it's mine.
Quote, they called law enforcement. They called code enforcement. They did everything right, but nothing was happening, said Suskar. According to the arrest affidavit, Kaluahine attended 3 code enforcement hearings where officers said his demeanor went from indifferent to belligerent and vulgar.
Fuck you! He's humping the air.
So it's not just the neighbors. It's
everyone.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe he's the one with the demand avoidance issue.
Maybe he's the Babadook.
The officer in attendance said Kaluahine shouted at the special magistrate, police officers, code enforcement officers, city attorneys, and was so disruptive he had to be escorted out all 3 times. Yeah.
Starting to think he might be the problem.
I think maybe it's this guy that's the problem.
This
guy. When we earlier, all 3 of us theorized that maybe the victim was the problem, I think it might actually be the crazy guy.
I'm coming up with a new stance. Believe victims.
Yeah. Since their initial argument with Kaluahine, police said the victims lived in constant fear for their safety. Ignoring the harassment initially did not work, and reporting to the authorities has yet to stop Kaluahine's behavior. Police said the victims have had to alter their daily routines and even leave their home for extended periods to avoid contact with Kaluahine and his actions.
Fair.
Although Kaluahine claims he will be moving out of the residence, there is no guarantee this will happen soon, nor does it ensure he will cease his harassment, the arrest officer said. Given this history and the investigation's findings, there is probable cause to arrest Kaluahine for 2 counts of aggravated stalking. Additionally, there is probable cause to charge Kaluahine with criminal mischief after using a pole to strike and remove a Ring security camera, causing $170 in damage.
I'm going to be honest. I feel like the grounds existed already.
They're looking into it. They're checking it.
Hey, if this keeps up, one of these people might end up dying. And you'd find them in a coffin. We look at coffin-related news in Coffin Watch. This comes to us from KLFY in Louisiana.
The Cleef.
Yep. 2 more people wanted in alleged St. Landry Parish grave desecration.
Oh.
Mm.
Hmm.
What did the person in the grave do?
Yeah, what's their vibe? Did you have a vibe check on the dead person?
Two more women are accused of grave desecration in connection with an incident at an Opelousas cemetery on December 10th, authorities said.
Girls.
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
All right.
Crystal Bell Edmund. Crystal, good start for like
good,
a...
Good, great start, yeah.
Yeah. 43. And Alexis Sally, 42, both of Opelousas.
Okay, so they can't use the we're just young and we didn't know any better kind of vibes at this point.
Yeah. Probably young at heart, though.
I'd say so, yeah.
Probably. They are wanted on charges of misdemeanor grave desecration, according to the St. Landry Parish Sheriff's Office. Previously, Queena Clay, 34, of Church Point, was booked on the same charge after an incident at the Serenity Memorial Park in Opelousas. According to officials, three women at the Serenity Memorial Park were observed drinking by workers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Goth girl theory, goth girls. Pretty strong.
Yeah.
Having like a glass of Tempranillo at the cemetery with your girls.
Classic behavior.
Yeah. A funeral service at the gravesite was recently concluded and all in attendance had left. Workers with the monument company said they were approached by the women asking if they could open the casket, which had not yet been lowered, to view the body. The workers denied the request.
Hey, just before you pop that down there.
Yeah. Real quick.
Hey, just before you wrap this up.
Look, this is going to sound so crazy, but me and my girls, we've had a couple of wines, and we were just... No, you ask. No,
we're kind of big coffin
heads. We look at the corpse.
We're kind
of...
We've
got to see it.
We're real body heads.
Mm. Hey, what's in there?
Yeah.
You know, I've always wondered what's in these things.
Yes.
Can we just have a little peep?
My girlfriend kind of wants to see the dead body.
I've had a couple of glasses of wine, and I'd like to see the face of death. I'd kind of want to stare at this dead person to sort of really cement in my mind the inevitability of my own death and the reality of that fact. Yeah. Could we do that real quick?
Hey, I missed the funeral. I just want to check real quick if that's anyone I know in there.
Get caught up.
Open casket funerals, they're grim, but they do serve a purpose, right? Part of the ritual is like really... Mm-hmm. Hammering home the finality of it, seeing the inanimate body and going, okay, I understand. I know. I truly know that this person passed away.
Well, that's it now. Yeah. Yeah.
Part of the funeral process is giving people a chance to have closure and to let go. And it's going to be really important for me to meet this person before I can let them go.
Yes.
I'd just like to get eyes on them. Say hi, firm handshake, say goodbye.
And then say goodbye. You know? Because that's what
and
this
the
is about.
Is like,
Say, look, I'll
can't
be honest.
Do that.
Saying goodbye is gonna feel, it's gonna like ring a little hollow if I don't know who's in the coffin.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes. When the workers checked on the women, because probably a good instinct there that if like three like drunk ladies are like, can we look at that body? And you're like, no. And then you let them get out of sight.
Mm.
They're like around the corner.
What goths are doing?
They're probably planning to look at the body.
You remember 20 minutes ago when those drunk women expressed an interest in seeing a dead body?
Did anyone see what they're doing? Them leave the graveyard? I kind of want to know that they've left the graveyard.
Oh, no. I left that dead body unattended.
Gravedigger goes, adjusts his eye patch. You know,
when the workers checked on the women, they saw the casket opened and the women taking photos of the body, authorities said.
Yeah. Hey, we told you.
What are you doing?
None of that.
I went to a funeral last year. Not an unexpected one or anything. It was fine. Sorry, it was for an extremely old person, if that helps at all. Yeah. If that contextualizes things.
Yeah, it does.
And like, just a bit of feedback for the cemeteries. I don't know how you would sort this out logistically. But like, when you're sort of coming through the cemetery, and you know, it's like a respectful vibe in there. Everybody's calm. Everybody's chill. And then you see like the earth mover next to a big pile of dirt. I feel like seeing the bobcat really drives home that someone's going to drive the Bobcat and push a big load of dirt into the hole.
I'm not like a...
Like throw a tarp over it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely think we should be using machinery to do that stuff. It's very hard on the body, but there is an unbelievable like solemnity and dignity to the shovel breaking the ground to create the hole that mm-hmm. we kind of, once we mechanized that process, kind of took that away, like knowing that the guy who got his Bobcat ticket so that he could like landscape someone's backyard is also the same guy, probably not doing it with a Bobcat. I guess that'd be silly, but you know what I mean? Like it's, I think of a grave digger as being, first and foremost, a very cool monster truck, and second, of being a very dignified profession. Whereas a guy that's just using a digger to scoop it out, I don't want my body going in a hole made by a piece of industrial equipment.
It's so noisy, fair? Too.
The same equipment they use to dig pools?
Yes, yeah. Probably the same machine, pool one week, hole for my body the next.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you know what happened while I was at this funeral, right? We had just been at a church and done like a full grade Catholic funeral. And so from there, you know, we've followed the hearse to the graveyard, to the cemetery. And so we have then arrived at the graveside, you know, where we're having the final words before the lowering of the coffin and everything. We are, I don't know, let's say 50 meters away from a building. I didn't know what the building was or anything, but it became clear to me when, during this last bit of the funeral, I heard like a noise start up from the building.
Yeah. Yeah, it's clown school.
And then the chimney on top of the building went whoomp, and expelled a giant cloud of black, thick,
cool,
ashy smoke.
Oh, they were probably just heating up their lunch or something. Don't worry about it.
And like...
One of the clowns sprained their ankle there to be destroyed.
And it was like kind of windy. And I was very relieved that the wind was blowing in the other direction, because it very much like did that kind of, it spiraled sort of up and then down and like hit ground level and moved away. And I could not help but have the thought of, A, number one, that was loud.
Yeah.
That was loud. That was a real whomp kind of noise. And number two, I was pretty glad to not kind of be covered in.
Yeah. We call that black rain.
People
in
ashes
in the industry, people and that ashes? Black rain, somebody's uncle.
Yep, I was kind of glad not to be covered in uncle particles while I was standing there at a graveside, you know. Yeah. But nobody else seemed to notice, so I was just standing there with my eyebrows very high up for a few minutes while this happened.
You guys do
making
you think that's
eyes,
uncle?
Making eyes at my wife, kind of. Oh my God!
I think that's uncle.
Oh, holy fuck,
Ella, that's uncle.
That's somebody's uncle.
I think that's somebody's uncle. The incident was reported to the family, who in turn filed a complaint with the St. Landry Parish Sheriff's Office, which has obtained arrest warrants for Edmund and Sally. That's a crazy phone call to get.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. What is up? You remember how you buried your uncle earlier today? Well... someone got down there and took a couple of happy snaps of him.
Some middle-aged goths did get in there. Someone we do our best. We have goth prevention measures in place around the cemetery.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, no system is 100% foolproof.
And they don't really show up on the cameras. It's sort of black on black.
See a little flat. Did you see a floating face just then on that camera? No?
Just be like, hey guys, I know this is going to be a difficult time for you. I do actually have a pamphlet for you that might help. It's called "So Some Wine Mums Papped Your Dead Uncle." It'll sort of guide you through the process of dealing with this, thinking about it, healing.
Yep. Not really knowing what to do with that information.
What do you do with that information?
In some ways, you would kind of prefer not to get the call, right?
This is a porcelain man situation for me. Like
your dead uncle doesn't know that somebody took a picture of him in the coffin. And frankly, you don't need to know.
Unless this is like, maybe you're in a feud with these ladies, or your uncle was. And like, that sort of, these pictures are of a gloating nature.
Oh, they're going to get one last pap before he goes down in the ground.
Oh, look at me. It's a photo of me and a dead chump.
What if it's a slighted ex-girlfriend situation?
Yeah.
I told you that I would laugh over your dead body. You didn't believe me.
They've got the pinkies out on camera. Mm-hmm. Like...
mm-hmm. Tell your aunt had the laugh. That's straight to Facebook. To Facebook.
Definitely. I don't want to, you know, it's tough sometimes when Lucy's not here. I know we have very powerful masculine energy and I don't want to descend into misogyny. But, you know, I hear three women in their 40s, they've all been drinking wine all day. They're probably two of them backing up the other one in something crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's like, you know what? I'm just going to get a photo with him because I'm so glad he's dead. And the other two are like, yes!
Exactly. Yes!
Oh my God, do it. You deserve this.
I'm so proud of you for doing this. You're self-actualizing, right? Oh my God, the cops are coming. Run! Ditch the heels. The name of the deceased was not released and the motive for the actions of the women has not yet been determined, authorities said.
It's either goth or horny. Those are the two. I think those are the two it can be.
Goth, horny.
Could be a horny goth.
Self-actualization. It's one of the three. Hey, this was definitely an episode of the podcast, Bunta Vista. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for being here behind the paywall. We had a bunch of you sign up after the sort of New Year's because you're starting 2025 right. I think this is a new year, new you, two episodes of Bunta Vista a week. You're going to be more normal than you've ever been.
Hey, like Ben said earlier, start as you mean to go on.
Yes, by giving us money.
Yes.
And just kind of keep doing that until Patreon folds as a company, and then we'll move to Boobler.
You've made the right New Year's resolution. Give Bunta Vista a bit of money every month.
Thank you so much.
You know, and think of it this way. You are a patron of the arts.
Yes.
You are contributing to the deepening and the widening of culture.
Yes.
In this beautiful world.
Yeah.
You get to hear some Australians try to understand some mentally ill Floridians. You know?
Correct. We will see you on the free episode. Until then, please stay safe. Just, I know that your gut reaction, if someone gives you something that sort of implies that your behavior was wrong or unpleasant, I know for me, my gut reaction is to either sever all ties with that person or to react with anger. And I think you should maybe try and put yourself in their shoes, understand that it might not be coming from a place of malice, because if you respond the way you want to, maybe you'll end up in like a year-long feud where you don't sleep anymore because you're terrified your neighbor's going to kill you.
Yes.
But also, if you don't stand up for yourself, you might end up being the victim of neighbor madness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, little pussy boy.
You'll be sort of lying humiliated in your tent on your little inflatable mattress going, here's all the stuff I could have said to them. And maybe if I'd like broke a beer bottle, I could have gun carded like 20 of them before they took me down.
Your father died bravely defending us against noise at a campsite.
Against some loud people at a campsite, yeah. He was dope. He was awesome.
Wish he was here, but thankfully, you know, we got a reprieve from that noise for about 45 minutes, and then they kind of started back up again.
Plus, you love your new dad.
I don't think your new dad's even better. He's great.
Taller. Easy.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.